Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we will be continuing our episodic series of the Rookie, SEAL Team, and SWAT. I also have some film reviews for you of Dolomite Is My Name, starring Eddie Murphy, and El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie starring Aaron Paul. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mangami podcast and our other social media content at Mangami Players across all the different social medias. All right, let's get into it. All right, so let's start this episode with some fun news. I finally finished Breaking Bad. It took me like almost 8 years or something like that, but I finally finished all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad. Don't know why it took me so long. Just like I could pick it up and then put it down for the longest time and then just not think about it and then pick it up again for a little bit and put it back down. But I got to about the midway point of season 4. I was like, nope, it's time to just finish this bad boy, and just binged straight through that SOB until I got to the end and was able to watch the movie. El Camino, a Breaking Bad story. Breaking Bad movie, excuse me. Such a good movie. I have a couple of small little, like one or two complaints here and there, but other than that, extremely good work. Like, Aaron Paul kills it. I mean, his work as Jesse Pinkman is for sure some of the best of his career. And that's, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if I should say not saying a lot or saying much, because like everything he does awesomely, you know. Like all of, I've never seen like a performance of Aaron Paul where I'm like, eh, could have worked on that a little harder, bro. Like he's always great. So, you know, but you know, Jesse Pinkman is just for sure some of his best work for all time, because he just absolutely kills it. Pretty much all of the main cast are back in one way or another. They do a lot of flashbacks to when Jesse was a captive, which informs his, you know, his plan of trying to escape this. Just insane. Just every, all the cops, all of the cops are after him. So, you know, so these flashbacks, you know, are like, inform his escape plan, and, you know, stuff like that. Now, the big complaint for me is Jesse Plemons. I forget his character's name, and he was a part of a bunch of Nazis, so I honestly don't care. But he was the quote nice guy that was like trying to be nice to Jesse all the time, even though he's keeping him fucking captive and and whatnot, you know, to cook meth and stuff. The guy who Walter started to teach to cook at the end of the show, and then he's like, oh, I can't get it just right. But anyway, the actor Jesse Plemons, apparently he's put on a few pounds since the show ended, and they have these flashbacks of, you know, Jesse while he's in captivity, like I said. And, you know, to go straight from finishing the show, the series finale, to literally right then just hitting play on El Camino is just like really jarring and really screws me up. Like, if you haven't seen the show in, like, 4 or 5 years, you probably won't notice it too much, you know what I mean? Or maybe you will, depending on how eagle-eyed you are. But, you know, for sure, like, there'll be a moment where you're like, I don't remember him having those poofy cheeks and such. I'm not trying to fat-shame the guy, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's a huge, huge continuity error for me. Because, you know, the guy's nice and skinny. Well, not nice and skinny. Skinny's not great. But, you know, the guy's... And he's not really skinny. But, you know, the guy's just whatever. He's one weight in the show, and he's another weight in the series. And that's just... it's a continuity error, and that bothers me. Because it's like, come on, man. Like, slim it down a bit. Like, try to come back to that original weight for me. Just, like, do something. Because... seems like he just showed up for work, and then Vince Gilligan was like, well, fuck, all right, I hope nobody notices this. You know, that kind of thing. It's like if you did a TV show, you know, and your hair was super-duper short or shoot super duper long, right? And then you do a movie 5 years later, and you know the movie picks up from literally the second, you know, and now your hair is super long. It's like, dude, literally five seconds ago in this timeline, your hair was short, and now it's long. When did you grow this hair in the 5 seconds since we last saw your character? No, I don't think so. You know what I mean? So, like, that bothers me, and that's why I docked it 2 points. Because that's just so glaringly of an obvious sort of thing that is also easily fixable, you know? I mean, you look at, like, Joaquin Phoenix. The guy's already a vegan. You'd think it'd be like, oh man, like, no problem for him to lose some weight. It's like, fucking, you know, he does exactly what he says. It's like, yeah, dude, you just do what they tell you. Weight's gone. You know what I mean? So it's like, they could have easily hooked up with, you know, a nutritionist, dietitian, all that stuff, dietitian, whatever, and, you know, got and slimmed him down a little bit so that he would at least look passably like he did a couple of years ago. But no, they just decided, screw it. Other than that, though, the movie's amazing. Highly recommend it. Give it 8 out of 10. And that's it for now on that one. Definitely going to talk about it a little bit more whenever I do my big old Breaking Bad series. So anyway, we'll be right back to talk about Dolomite Is My Name. Okay, now for Dolomite Is My Name, the true story of comedian and what some in the hip-hop industry call the godfather of rap, Rudy Ray Moore, who created this alter ego, Dolomite, for his stand-up act, and then went on to attempt to make a feature-length motion picture in the vein of Shaft and things like that, make it super hilarious and funny. So this movie is so damn good, it's ridiculous. You know, Eddie Murphy, it's been a while since I've seen him in stuff, but it's so good to see him again, because, you know, I've always been a huge Eddie Murphy fan, you know, going all the way back. I mean, I wasn't alive back then, obviously, but, you know, going back to his stand-up stuff like Delirious and Raw. Such good stuff, you know what I mean? And then, you know, just, this is, like, such an amazing performance. Like, the movie is very, very funny, don't get me wrong. I mean, such a great cast of guys who do a lot of comedy. But, it's also, you know, got that drama and that heart stuff, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, oh, wow, no, you forget that Eddie Murphy can act. Like, you know, he's not just the funny guy. But he can bring the thunder, dramatically speaking, if he wants to. And that's what he does in this movie, you know? Like, he does so well with this character who, you know, he's been around for a good long while, and he's been struggling the whole time, and he hits upon this thing that just gives him this kind of overnight success. Not a huge amount of success. Like, he doesn't go from being a nobody to being, you know, John Lennon and the Beatles overnight, but, you know, it's enough success that it's like, no, this is a person that definitely should be taken notice of, 'cause it's out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Like, the guy's been grinding and grinding as an MC in these clubs, and finally he does this act that just starts garnishing all this attention from, you know, it's a pretty specific act, you know, it's a very raunchy, very off-color, blue, you know, coarse, foul-languaged act, but, I mean, I don't know. Personally, I have a pretty wide sense of humor and stuff like that, so I thought it was actually hilarious. But and I'm definitely not the kind of person that this particular style of comedy or even this kind of character would be marketed to then or now. You know, like, you wouldn't think, white kid from the suburbs, he'll like this. but I thought because, you know, they use a lot of the real material that this guy used for this stuff, and, you know, when they go off to try and make the movie, you know, they're recreating the movie, you know, 100%, you know, the angles of the camera and the lighting, all that good stuff. So, like, in just a from a technical standpoint like that, you know what I mean? Like, when you're making a movie about guys making a movie, and that movie is a real movie that's been made, and you can watch that real movie in the real world, and you're watching a bunch of actors recreate making that movie for a movie, and you can, you know, you can dissect each individual scene of the movie you're watching to see if the movie you're watching, of the making of a movie that you can watch, whether or not it's real or not. That was a super tongue twister, but it was, that was amazing. But, you know, so these guys, you know, very immaculately were recreating these shots and action that happens on the frame in the movie. So that's something that, you know, as a filmmaker, I appreciate, you know what I mean? Like, just that attention to detail. The entire cast, though, is amazing. You know, Eddie Murphy, like I said, he's incredible as this character. Wesley Snipes just comes out of nowhere with this just gut-busting, hilarious performance that just killed me. Just killed me. You know, you got the great Craig Robertson and Craig Robinson. Craig Robinson in there. And he's, you know, he's Craig Robinson. Like, he's amazing. What's he going to be? Not amazing? Pfft, I don't think so. you know, just all this other, you know, great supporting cast that are just so good. And one of the things I loved about this movie is, you know, it's a line from the trailer, but it made it into the final cut. And it's something that, you know, that's why I like what Jordan Peele said about, you know, how he probably won't ever make a movie with a white main character. And it's not like he doesn't like white people. It's just like, no, he wants to make stories about black people, you know? And I appreciate that, because especially back in this time that we're talking about with this movie, Dolomite Is My Name, is the 70s, you know? And the only thing out there that had, like, black people in it in a starring role were blaxploitation films. And those were just on the come up, you know what I mean? Like, so there wasn't a huge wealth of this stuff. And most studios weren't putting serious money into them. So even if you got one made, you probably were only going to get maybe $100,000, if that, to make it. And if you got a little bit more, it might only go up to like maybe $400,000. But that's like if you, you know, made a couple of them and they all did really good. But even then, you know, because like it's just the way that the studio systems work and worked back then, you know, is just like, no, we want the mass appeal. What's going to get the most butts in the most seats? And, you know, for a studio, especially run by a bunch of old white guys, they don't see, you know, some goofball, you know, making an almost exclusively black casted action comedy, you know, boobies movie, and it doing well for them, you know, which I think is the great genius of this character, because he doesn't know what he's doing, but it works out for him in ways because he's just such a go-getter, you know. And that's the other thing I love about this movie. You know, like, first off, you know, almost exclusively black cast, not a lot of white dudes or ladies in it. There's a fair amount, but, you know, it's most of the time you're seeing black faces, and I like that a lot, you know, because I like to see more diverse stuff, you know. Like, I'm getting tired of all the white people too, you know. but for real though, like, you know, so it's great to see that. But then, you know, just to see a character who's just not giving up on life. You know, like, he's been around, man. Like I said, he's been grinding hard, and he's been working so hard, and it's taken him so much and so much time, and finally he finds this winning formula, and he just does not want to let go of this success, you know. And it starts out a little bit, you know, kind of me, but, you know, he definitely along the way learns that it's not just about him. It's about this entire group of people that have come together to help him do this crazy ridiculous thing that nobody believes that they can pull off. And he, you know, reaches this point of just like, no, man, we can do whatever we want to do. If somebody tells us no, they can go to hell. You know, we can do anything we put our minds to. And I just found that absolutely amazing and wonderful to see. Because there's not a lot of characters, especially nowadays. We're getting a lot of depressed people in our TV, in our movies, you know what I mean? So to just see one of these classic archetypal go-getter guys, you know, that's just like, no, man, we're going to do it. And just have that positive attitude of just like, it can be done, you know, was just kind of fresh, even though that's a character that you used to see all the time, you know, just like, I'm totally positive, 100%. And then, like, you know, 3/4 of the way through the movie, it'd be like, we're hitting the wall. I don't know if I can go on. And then the other character's like, come on, man, you're the dude. Like, you're the guy, man. Like, do it. Like, that's you. Like, we can do this. That you're that guy. So be that guy. And he's like, you can go to hell. You be that guy. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm that guy again! So, I haven't seen that for a while, so it felt fresh, you know, which is great. So, yeah, dude, Dolomite Is My Name. Absolutely great, and I feel like this is another one of these movies that Netflix has done and released that really is, you know, cementing their place as a legitimate film studio, a legitimate place for people to go make movies, you know. And once The Irishman comes out, like Martin Scorsese on a streaming service, holy crap, holy. That's going to be crazy. But yeah, Dolomite, absolutely extraordinary piece of filmmaking. I'll be honest with you, like, I took like a half an hour break just like, you know, watching just whatever, just random stuff. And I was like, I kind of want to watch Dolomite again. So I might even watch it again. I finished it. It was done. Half an hour later, I wanted to watch this movie again. That's how much I liked it. So I wouldn't say it's 100% perfect, but a 9 out of 10 is definitely well-deserved for sure. And I might upgrade that to a 10 out of 10 because this movie was absolutely fantastic. All right, so that's going to do it for Dolomite. Stick around, and we'll be back for the episode 4s of the TV shows, The Rookie, SEAL Team, and SWAT. Stick around. Okay, so The Rookie, episode 4, Warriors and Guardians. Definitely my favorite episode so far. So finally, Nolan has got a training officer, a permanent training officer. And dude, this chick is one tough cookie, like one bad mother. You like, and that's, you, if you watch the episode, you'll see that's literal. But anyway, like, she is badass, dude. Like, so this lady just came from like 4 or 5 years or something like that undercover with a freaking cartel, you know what I mean, in a, like a joint fed LAPD operation where just like 5 years straight or something like that. So this lady is hardcore. Like, I mean, Talia Bishop, which I miss you, Talia, every day, every episode, I miss you. Talia was hard, you know what I mean? But she had that softer side to her too, like that was able to feel and show compassion and emotions. This lady, like, she's locked down tight, you know what I mean? Like, she's just like, she's a running gunner for sure. So, like, the first thing she says to Nolan is, you know, we're not going after misdemeanors and these, you know, bullshit felonies. Like, we're going after the hard stuff. Like, you know, I mean, she's a tough SOB for sure. Like, badass to the max. You know what I mean? So, it gets pretty intense this episode, I gotta tell you. And I love how they're just keeping up the rhythm, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't faltered yet. They haven't sidestepped or twisted their ankle or tripped or anything like that. Haven't faltered once. So I just love how they're just keeping up the intensity and the drama, but also keeping those lighter moments in there as well. And seeing Nolan grow and the other rookies too into their role as police officers is just super freaking awesome. You know, I just love this show to death, you know. And if anything, you know, and I would like to say this in particular to the one listener who called me out and was like, I don't want to listen to this. I want to hear about movies and what do you think about this and that, you know. I don't care about these TV shows. You know who you are. You know, the reason I wanted to do this was, you know, it was a couple of reasons. And, you know, the big one was I love these shows. And I want to share that with you. I want you to hear in my voice how much I love this on a week-to-week basis. Because I want you guys to watch them too, you know, for selfish reasons. You know, one, I want someone to talk about these shows with. And two, I want these shows to do well and to keep doing well. So, like, if I can get, you know, another three or four people that listen, that are listening to me right now, and you're like, oh, this show sounds pretty good, actually, the way he describes it, and you go watch it, and you're like, dude, this show rocks! Then, you know, you start watching it week to week, and then maybe you're like, dude, this show's so good, I have to share it with somebody, and then you go and tell, like, three or four people, and then maybe two of them are like, dude, this show kicks ass! And, you know, and it just, you know, spiderwebs out from there, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I just, you know, and also it's like if you love something, you want to share it with people. You know, you don't want to keep it a secret to yourself, especially not a TV show. Like, you gotta share that. I mean, like, we all remember what happened with Firefly, right? Right? You remember, right? Right? Okay, I'll tone it down. But, you know, yeah, I just love these shows so much, and that's why I wanted to do this. So, yeah, so definitely tune in this Sunday night next Sunday and the Sunday after that for The Rookie on ABC. All right, we'll be right back to talk about SEAL Team. Okay, so now to talk about SEAL Team. Love this new episode. Before I actually get to this, okay, so if any of you listened to last week's episode, you know I kind of freaked out because YouTube, because I bought this series on YouTube this season, and it's supposed to upload, like, so Thursday night I can sit down and I can watch SEAL Team. And season and episode 3 for like a week was not up. And I had a little freak out about it. Well, when I went in to see if the episode was up this week, it was up with episode 3 and episode 4 ready to go. So I don't know if they heard me or if they heard somebody else, because, I mean, I commented on episode 2, like, where the hell is episode 3? And, like, 5 more people were like, I don't fucking know. We want to know, too. So I don't know what the events were, but thankfully it got fixed, and I'm not saying I hope the guy who's supposed to upload those episodes to YouTube got fired. I just hope that they cut off at least 2 of his toes. As a reminder not to fuck up like that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Just 1 toe. That's all I needed was 1 toe. He made 1 mistake, so that gets 1 toe. That's the Yakuza way of life, and I firmly stand by that. Okay. I'm just kidding. Just the toenail. Just pull that. That'll be fine. I'm kidding. I do not advocate torture or violence. This is a very peace-loving unit company. I mean, except for Heath, who, you know, teaches physical combat, I'm kidding. It's martial arts. It's all about, you know, peace and inner harmony. I mean, except for when you're throwing a motherfucker to the ground to break. I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, and okay. Enough of that ridiculousness. Let me actually talk about what I'm supposed to be talking about here, which is SEAL Team, episode 4, season 3. So, again, super solid. We're going triple nines this week on the TV shows, guys. Like, all 3 of these episodes were stellar. You know, this one was just fantastic. It centers around this kind of this slipping dynamic in the team where everybody's a little bit out of whack. You know, everybody's got something personal on their plate. And that's why I said, you know, about these three shows, like these shows, I want to see more of the personal stuff, you know, go down. And this season really is not a disappointment at all for me, because they're just killing it. You know, like everybody's got something going on of these main guys in the team, and it's all throwing them a little bit out of whack. And it comes to the forefront when they have to start training for this incredibly dangerous and super high-risk mission, which is a hostage rescue aboard a floating Fort Knox prison ship. You know what I mean? So these guys are trying to train for this, and they're using Green Team SEALs, which Green Team, if you haven't seen the show or you don't know what I'm talking about, Green Team are the guys who are trying to apply. Like, they're already Navy SEALs, they're already on a team, but they're applying to be in DevGru. So you have these Green Team guys who, you know, and by the way, like, the regular teams ain't no slouches, you know? It's just DevGru is just that, like, that cut above kind of a thing, you know what I mean? Just, like, the ultimate operator type of persons. So you have these Green Team guys who just keep whooping their asses, and, you know, and they all are getting angry at each other and sniping at each other and all this stuff, and you're just left wondering, like, oh my god, if these guys go on this mission during this episode, because we've had episodes where they've trained for a mission like this, and it gets, you know, axed. I won't tell you what happens. All I will tell you is that the episode is absolutely amazing. You know, the performances, the action, you know, even in just the training sequence is just great. And I love these training, watching these guys train for a mission, for a scenario, because it really does just give you that level of authenticity of just like, dude, no, these operators, they don't just pick up and go. You know, for a high-risk mission like this, they will build the mock-up and they will train on every single detail to get it right, so that when they're in the field, it's just muscle memory. They don't even have to think about what they're doing. You know, they just, I'm going to climb this ladder. Okay, shoot that guy. Shoot that guy. All right, cover this area. You lock, get that lock on the door. Okay, door done. In, left, right, up, down. You know, so it's just like, vroom, you know, not necessarily autopilot, but basically, you know what I mean? So I love that stuff. And also you just, you know, gets into the minutiae of what it's like to be an operator. You know, you're seeing more of their life, you know what I mean? Like, in on the job, as opposed to just like, on mission, at home, on mission, at home, on mission, at home, on mission, at home. So to see them on the job, not on mission, on the job, not on mission, that's really cool. You know what I mean? So, awesome. 9 out of 10. And we'll be finishing up with SWAT here in just a second. All right, and finally for this episode, we have SWAT. this episode, again, you know, like I said, guys, it's 999 this week. So each show did an incredible job, and SWAT, not being an exception to that at all, was amazing. This episode, I would rank up there as in my top 10 probably of the entire show so far. It's an amazing episode. It gets really, really crazy. If you watch a lot of cop shows or even military or spy stuff, you've seen this scenario play out before. It's nothing new, but it's always something that is equal parts interesting and frustrating. And it's the suspect, the target, who's got connections in the government or in one of the three-letter agencies. And, you know, they just won't let him get arrested, no matter what you throw in front of them. And, you know, what you catch these guys doing, these scum-sucking sons of bees who, you know, are doing horrible stuff, but because they know some information about things, they can get away with murder or selling lots and lots of drugs or whatever. You know what I mean? So that's what this episode revolves around. this guy who's smuggling drugs in, and you know he's using these flower vendors as his cover operation for the smuggling. And you know the episode opens with Deacon and his family at this flower market, and the flower market gets shot all to hell because this guy is just like, "I'm gonna teach these sons of bitches a lesson and learn how to follow my orders." Brr! So that's what sparks off this whole pretty intense episode, is Deacon with his four kids and his wife at a flower market and almost getting shot to death. So right off the bat, it starts with a bang, and it does not let up. Like this episode does not take its foot off your throat for one second, and I loved it, you know, especially with Deacon. Like Jay Harrington, who plays Deacon K in this show, I would never have thought of him as you know, as the number two on a SWAT team. You know, because I know him best from stuff like Better Off Ted, which you guys may not even know what I'm talking about, but it's this great comedy show that was absolutely hilarious, you know. And then I know him from a single episode of Burn Notice, where he plays this guy who's, you know, he wants to be a tough guy, but he's really just, you know, a khaki gangster, if you will, that's really just a total coward. But you know, like he I wouldn't have expected him to do something like this, and he does it so freaking good. It's amazing. And the dude is like in his 50s or something like that, but he's had some shirt off scenes, and the dude is jacked, man. I'm just like, whoa, Jay Harrington, you put in the work, son. You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's always stuff that I appreciate, when it's like you're playing a guy that's, you know, a tier one alpha of an operator in some way or another. You know, this guy is gonna be in good shape. Like, you can't show up to set with a freaking beer gut and love handles talking about, "All right, guys, let's go get these bad guys." You know what I mean? Like when you have somebody who's got gray hair on top and on the face, and they're talking about, "No, I'm gonna look freaking jacked as all hell. I'm gonna look like Henry Cavill in Superman." I'm like, okay, man, fuck, do it. Like, yeah. I mean, whew, it's crazy. Like, I mean, I hope I can get that good in shape when I'm that age. Like, crimin' niddly. Hoi. It's just insane. I'm not in love with him or anything. I'm just impressed, you know, with the work ethic. But yeah, anyway, this ep like, you know, so seeing him just dole out these amazing performances week after week is just so awesome. I mean, like, the whole cast kills it, but you know, again, he's the guy I did not expect to be in this kind of a show. So, you know, it's just really gratifying to see that payoff, you know, week after week after week after week. You know, this investment of time for me, and the investment of money from the studios and the producers and stuff. So yeah, just another kick-ass episode of SWAT. Absolutely amazing. Definitely in my top 10. All right, that's gonna do it. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Thank all of you so much that who are watching the Batman Telltale series game videos on YouTube. I love you so much. Thank you. I had so much fun doing them. I hope you enjoy watching them. I am going to be starting streaming in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the new one, the brand new one that just came out Friday, starting on Monday of this week. And I'm going to be doing a stream on Wednesday, hopefully, as well. Fingers crossed. So be sure to like and subscribe and follow us all across the different social media, so you'll know that stuff's happening. Because I am so excited to play Call of Duty for you guys, and I'm gonna do it a lot like I did the Batman stuff, where I'm not gonna be talking too much over it, because I'm gonna just experience the game with you guys. And the way this game is, I want to give you a little preface of it, because the way I'm gonna play the game, the way the game looks, is that I can really role play it. You know what I mean? So I can actually apply real life tactics that I've picked up in my research and things of that nature, into military and police stuff. So when it comes, like, so just for instance, there's a mission that I've seen that's just like a house clearing, and it's just clearing rooms one after the other in pitch black darkness with your night vision goggles and your team of highly trained special ops badasses. And the video I saw, the guy wasn't really applying tactics to it that very much. He was just like, I don't want to stick my head in too far. I don't want to get it shot off. Oh no! So, like, I'm gonna be legit about it. You know what I mean? As legit as I possibly can be. So I'm gonna role play the crap out of this game for you guys and for myself a little bit. I'm allowed to be selfish, but I'm super excited because I did play a little bit of the multiplayer, and this is a game to be excited about for sure. So, if you're a gamer, please be sure to tune in to me on our YouTube channel, Mangami Players on YouTube, tomorrow Monday, or wait, is tomorrow Monday? What's today? Whatever today is, and then Monday is the day that, whatever. Streams, Call of Duty happening, YouTube, go. Okay, thank you so much again for listening. And look for those Call of Duty streams and other stuff that we got coming out for you as well. We got a lot of great content planned for you for the rest of this year. And then next year, shit's gonna get real, son. So you're definitely gonna wanna not miss anything. All right, that's gonna do it for me. Ladies, gentlemen, good night and good luck. Wait a minute. Why did I just quote Edward Murrow?